Hey buddies, welcome back to another episode. And it hasn't been like that long since my last episode, which I'm really proud of myself because I don't know why, but lately, like, well, not lately, we know these past couple years it has taken me a while, but it's because I was busy and I was in college and I'm still busy. But long story short, I got like an idea and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. Like I don't know. It just came up in my mind and then I just started writing down like ideas and such. And then I realized like, oh my gosh, I need to record this as soon as possible. It's too good. Not really much to update on my life. Honestly, everything's been the same since the last episode. I guess the only thing that I really have to add is that I'm studying for my exams right now for like my teaching credentials. Like I said in the last episode, I'm going back to school to be a teacher, which is crazy. Besides that, nothing really much new in my life. I've been applying to jobs for like the summer, and I applied for like 4 positions at the California Science Center, and I really, 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 really want to work there. So if you're listening, please pray, please manifest, please speak into existence that I will be working at the California Science Center this summer. It's like, honestly, the top of my list of things that I want to achieve right now. Like, I want that even more than my teaching credentials. Like, that it's that serious right now. But yeah, so today's topic is things I finally understand about myself. And I feel like this topic has kind of been like on my mind for a while, but I couldn't put it into words. And I just didn't know how to kind of approach it, because I thought it was just kind of like things that I thought about a lot. But then I realized like I'm thinking about it a lot because I understand it now. And I think it's coming with a lot of like growth and maturity. Like, I think I'm gonna say it's my frontal lobe developing. I think that's the best way to put it. And it's like I'm finally understanding these niche things about myself. That like I always questioned. I was like, why do I feel this way? Why do I think this way? And I'm at a point now where I can understand it. And now that I understand it, I don't know what to do with it, but at least I understand it. So yeah, we're gonna get into the first thing. This first one is probably going to be the longest, but I think it is my biggest realization. And okay, so besides the point, I actually, for the first time, like, promoted my podcast on TikTok. So if I have any new listeners, I'm just going to be kind of giving background information to a lot of these things in case this is the first episode that you hear from me. And that's me assuming that TikTok actually helped me promote my podcast a little bit. But I did say in the last episode that it was my goal to kind of promote it a little bit more this, like, upcoming year. So, yeah, hopefully my very, very light promotion of my podcast actually did something. I'm hoping it did because, like I said, I would love more listeners. I think it's amazing. Okay, so the first thing is, the first thing that I finally understand about myself is why I'm intimidating to men. So, background knowledge and refresher for, you know, the baddies here that know, I have never had a boyfriend. I've never been pursued. I've never been in a romantic relationship. I've never held hands. I've never had my first kiss. I've never been in a talking stage. No guy has ever confessed to me. I've never hung out one-on-one with a man. I've never been on a date. Like, when I tell you, no romance. I've had crushes, and that is it. So if you listen to my It's So Hard Being a Hopeless Romantic episode, you know, like, that I'm a hopeless romantic, and that's that. But you also know I've never had any, like, real romantic, like, relationships, anything close to that. And because of that, I've always, like, wondered, like, why? Why me? Why hasn't anyone liked me? Like, I have explained, I think, like, I'm funny. I think I have a good personality. I'm really smart. Like, I'm very goal-driven. I have so many qualities that I feel like, yeah, like, these are great qualities to have in a person, and like I think these are great qualities that would like attract someone. However, I've attracted no one, at least like to my knowledge, I guess. So that like makes me question, you know, like why was it never me? And my whole life, I've always been told this, and I'm pretty sure like literally so many girls that or and guys like feel the same way that I feel have been told this, but I've always been told, oh, you're just too intimidating. And that always confused me, because to me, I don't think I'm an intimidating person. Like, I think I'm very approachable. Like I've said before, like, I think someone could come up to me and, like, easily start a conversation, and I'll continue the conversation. Like, clearly, I love to talk. And I guess to me, it always felt like, well, how am I intimidating anyone? It's not like I'm, like, sitting in a corner with a fuchi face. Like, it's not like I'm just mad dogging everyone and, like, not wanting to talk to anyone and looking unapproachable. To me, that's intimidating. But I had this conversation with my friend, and she brought that up. She was like, oh, like, guys don't approach us because we're too intimidating. And I was like, dude, like, what do you mean by that? Because I just don't understand that. Like, I don't understand how I'm too intimidating. And I had the most, like revolutionary conversation and experience with this. And I know why, and I understand why I'm too intimidating. So my friend brought up the topic about how when she goes out with her friends, like, she's very similar to me. We're both outgoing, we're talkative, we love to make jokes, we love to laugh, we're loud. Like, you know, loud when it's appropriate, not loud when it's, like, annoyingly inappropriate. You know what I mean? But then, like, her friends are more of, like, the quiet, shy type that are very mysterious. And she was like, my friends that are more quiet and shy and mysterious, they get approached 10 times out of 10. Like, they always get approached, and guys want that. And, like, they're kind of the type that, like, have no posts on Instagram, aren't really, like, loud in the group. And they're also the type that, like, are kind of mean to guys. Like, and she was saying, she's like, guys like that. And I was thinking about it, and that's true. Like, guys really do like those quiet, mysterious girls. And it's mainly because guys like the chase, and guys like what they can't have. And I am the opposite. I'm not mysterious, like, at all. Like, I have a whole podcast on my life that is not mysterious. If I see something cute that I like a little view, I'm gonna post it on Instagram. You know where I'm at. Like, okay, I don't post, though, like, going through it right now, don't hit me up. I do not post stuff like that. Like, that's too far. Like, I'm a little bit mysterious when it comes to that. But it's like, or if I look cute, like, I'm gonna post my outfit, or like, I'm gonna post a picture. Like, I'm not mysterious at all. And I'm definitely not, like, shy and quiet, because I have a lot of shy friends. So I'm typically the one that's, like, initiating conversation, or like, when we go out, I'm the one that's, like, for lack of better words, like, entertaining. Because I have shy friends, and I'm not afraid to be the outgoing one, because it's like, you know, I'm gonna make you feel comfortable, and, like, I'll start a conversation if you don't really know what to say. And, like, when I am with my friends and, like, we're comfortable, I'm sorry, I'm a crack a joke. I am a funny, funny girl. Like, I love to laugh. Like, there is nothing that I love more than laughter. I don't care if I'm loud. I don't care if I look ugly. Like, I will laugh. If something is funny, I'm gonna laugh. It's whimsical. It's silly. Like, I'm just always gonna do it. And I don't care about, like, my surroundings if, like, oh, a guy finds me cute because, or finds me ugly or whatever, because I'm, like, laughing terribly. Like, I just don't really care, because I'm gonna have a good time no matter where I'm at. And I wouldn't say, like, I'm loud. Like, I'm loud where it's appropriate, obviously. But, like, if I have an opinion, I'm gonna share it. If I have a little story time about a topic, I'm gonna share it. Like, I'm not mysterious. There's not one nonchalant bone in my body. I am very chalant. I am full of chalant. Like, I can't help it. It's just how I am. Like, I remember when I was younger, like, the new school year, I would always be like, I'm gonna be mysterious this year. Like, I'm gonna be the girl that, like, you know how there's always that girl in class that doesn't talk? And, like, I don't know why everyone just, like, would always surround her, try to get her to talk. Like, You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's always that those girls that were just quiet, like those girls that just didn't talk. I always wanted to be that girl. I wanted to be that girl so bad. Because like they always had so many friends and like all the guys liked them. And this is when I was like in elementary school, so that's it's appropriate for me to care that a guy liked me because I was little, okay? And then I would tell myself like every school year, like, no, I'm gonna be mysterious this year. Like, I'm gonna be quiet this year. Like, they're not gonna know me. Like, I'm just gonna be quiet. And then first day of school, like, I'd be busting out laughing on the floor. Like, I can't help it. Like, I just can't be mysterious. I can't be mysterious because I can't shut up. And I realized that I don't want to stop that. Like, I kind of love that about myself. Like, I love that no matter where I am, who I'm with, like, I'm gonna have a good time. The only time that I'm quiet is if I'm like super tired, my social battery's drained, or like I'm just a little upset. And I don't like how that feels, and I don't want to feel like that all the time. And I see why that's intimidating to men, because a lot of men like girls that are going to be quiet and like listen to them and like follow them. And that's just very much not me. Like, that is not me at all. And that never will be me because that never has been me. And I don't know how to be like that. And I don't want to be like that. And I'm not saying like it's a bad thing for a girl to be shy and quiet. Like, everyone is the way that they are. But like, it's like if you're shy and quiet, are you all of a sudden going to be like loud and outgoing and like funny? Like, no, because that's just not you. So this is like nothing on the girls that are shy and quiet, mysterious. Go you. I admire you. It just couldn't be me. And yeah, I feel like I'm very intimidating to men in that way. And like, not to say like, oh my gosh, my whole purpose in life is to attract a man. No, I just never understood why people said that about me. So this is me figuring out why people say that. And now I understand why. And another way that I believe that I'm intimidating to men is because of like my success, right? So I'm 22. And I already have my bachelor's degree, so I graduated a year earlier, graduated at 21, and I have had so much professional experience. Like, I'm literally a whole administrative coordinator for a company. I go on business trips, and I am like literally a teacher. Like, what the heck, right? Like, I have accomplished so much, and I'm constantly striving to be better for myself. Like, I'm constantly pushing myself, and I have goals and I reach them. Every goal I've ever set out to do, I have reached. I wanted my Toyota Tacoma, I bought it, right? Like, I wanted my college degree and I wanted it in environmental science, I got it. I wanted to be able to mix my passion for performing arts and for, science, and I'm doing both. Like, everything I've ever wanted, I've got, and I worked for it on my own. Like, and everything that I am, I've never been influenced by a man. Ooh, that kind of rhymed. Like, for example, all of my interests are purely because I found it, or like I discovered it with friends, or like with my sister. Like, nothing about me has ever been influenced by a man. My style, the music I listen to, the places I go, the things I like, I am truly my own self based off of me. Whereas, like, this is not to shame anyone, but a lot of people I know that have boyfriends, like, their boyfriends put them onto things. So they like certain things because their boyfriend put them on, which is not a bad thing. But it's like, I can gladly say that everything about me is because of me. And I feel like because of that, I'm very intimidating because, and I'm making a very big generalization about men, but this is my podcast and I can say whatever I want. So I'm gonna make this generalization, and the girls I get it, and the girls that don't, don't. But guys, like, okay, guys at my age, I can't speak on older men because I have zero experience with older men. But from what I've realized is that men, guys my age, they are not where I'm at, like, in my life, right? A lot of guys that I know and like a lot of my friends aren't in, like, how do I say this? Like, they're not, oh, this sounds so bad, but they're not equal to me. Like, the things that I have and that I've worked for and that I do and things, like, are very much a lot more maturely advanced than guys my age, which I know girls mature faster than guys, and maybe that's why. And I feel like maybe that's why guys my age don't like me, because I'm not like similar to them in that way, or the things that I want in my life and my morals are a lot more mature than theirs. And I think they prefer, you know, like a partner that is maybe on their level of like, oh, I'm not sure what I want to do, I haven't really figured it out. Or like, they kind of want a girl that's gonna like follow along what they like, and they don't want to follow along what a girl likes. So for instance, like a guy might be really into like a certain artist, right? But he might not like an artist that's like opposite to what he listens to. So he would rather be with a girl that doesn't listen to him, right? That doesn't listen to that artist and like wants to listen to it with him, than a girl that like has different interests and doesn't want and wants to do like their own thing, right? That did not make any sense, but whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like guys like girls that are going to follow along with what they do, or like kind of don't have their own thing, so the girl assimilates to the guy's thing. And I already have my established hobbies. Like, I'm open to new things, but I'm not trading what I like for a man. Like, for example, you guys know I like K-pop. I love going to concerts. I don't collect as much because I just can't put my finances towards that right now. But I love concerts. I love, that's like my thing, right? And I know a lot of guys like don't like when their girlfriends like K-pop, because it's like they see these very good looking men and they get intimidated, I guess. I don't know. So a lot of guys like don't really like their girlfriends liking K-pop. So a lot of guys don't like girls that like K-pop. Like, they think they're weird for like liking these men. And they always say like, oh, they look like girls. Ugh, I hate when they say that. So I feel like because of my interest like that, men are intimidated to be like, no, we're too different, I don't want to deal with that, I'd rather like a girl that isn't into any of that, and then she could like what I like. And I refuse to give that up. Like, I love that part of my life, it's so much fun, and I'm not going to give it up for a man. Like, okay, it's like when Nene Leakes said, I'm not going to sweeten my delivery for Todd. I mean, who's Todd? Like, I'm not going to drop everything that I like and drop everything that I'm doing just because of a man. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, for example, when I was like in the process of like buying my car, my sister was like, oh, I don't know if you should like get a car, because that's like a lot of finances. And I was like, oh, like, but I'm working towards it, like I have nothing else to spend it on. And she was like, oh, but like, what if you get a boyfriend? Like, it might be hard to get a car when you have a boyfriend. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what does me paying monthly on a car have to do with me having a boyfriend? Though I, in my head, those two don't mix. And then she was like explaining, and I guess I could understand that, like, when you're with a man, like, I guess you spend money, and like, I would have to allocate, like, oh, well, like, because I'm buying a car, I can't spend as much money on like my man, or spend money like doing things with my man. And I'm just like, why would I let a man stop me from getting what I want? Why would I get a cheaper car to save money for time with my man? Like, that to me, like, if I want the car, I'm gonna get the car, and no man's gonna change that whatsoever. So things like that. And I think just because of how developed I am, and like, I know what I want, I know what it takes to get it, and I'm just gonna get it, because I'm so like laser focused on the life I want to build for myself, I don't have the vision for a man in my life. And I think because of that, I'm not attracting men, which is perfectly fine, because I have things that I need to accomplish. And like I said, no one is going to get in the way of that, because I've worked so hard to get where I'm at. So if I do meet someone, I would want them to be either where I'm at, or like, you know, working towards that, because I don't want to be pulled down. Like, you're not going to be an anchor to me. Like, I am an independent woman, and I just want someone that's like there to support me and, you know, walk with me, things like that. Not someone that's like, oh no, like, I don't want you to do that because like I would have less time with you. Like, what? And I don't need that. And I think because I'm very much like that, and because maybe I give off that vibe. I just don't attract men. And because of that, now I realize why I'm intimidating to men. And I'm not upset about it. Like, honestly, that makes so much sense to me. And I can't believe that it took me so long to, like, understand that. Because when people would tell me before, like, oh, it's because you intimidate men, like, I would take offense to that. Because I was like, no, I'm not mean. Like, I'm very open. Like, what the heck? Like, I'm not intimidating. Because I was thinking of intimidating in a bad way. But I understand now that I'm intimidating in a good way. And I love that. Because I will never stop being my outgoing, talkative self. Because that's just who I am. And if a man can't handle that, and if he wants someone a lot less toned down, he can go ahead and have someone less toned down. I would prefer a strong man that understands that I'm the star of the show and just wants to be by my side. Like, I need a, I'm not going to say quiet because I don't want to be the one talking the whole time, but I just need a man that, like, understands that I'm just a loud girl. I'm just an outgoing, silly girl, and I'm not going to lessen myself for a man. It's like in Crazy Rich Asians when Astrid tells her, like, now ex-husband, when she's like I'm not gonna, like, lessen myself to make you feel more like a man because I can't make you something you're not. And that just hit so hard, and it's so true. Like, I'm gonna be a strong woman, and I would want a strong man that doesn't feel, like, threatened or intimidated by that, but feels like, oh, wow, like, I'm so lucky to have someone like this, right? Okay, so I'm wrapping that up on that first point of I finally understand why I'm intimidating to men. Alrighty, the next one is why I want what I can't have. And for a while, I thought it was because I was just jealous. Like, I thought I was just a jealous, bitter girl that was a hater because of what other people had, but I realized it's not because, like, that person has it. It's because there's things that I want that I just can't have. For example, I would love to be that person that goes to, like, every single stop on a tour and, like, just has money to travel everywhere and doesn't really have to worry about work or, like, school or things like that. Like, I would love that, right? And then I was, like, finding myself getting kind of jealous of, like, people that do that, and I was just like, ugh, like, I want that life so bad. And I realized, like, I understand why I want what I can't have, and I think it's because I'm not in a position to get that yet, and it's like, I know I have to work harder for it. So it's like, I can't have it in that moment, and that's why I want it even more, but it motivates me to work harder to get it in the future. So, yeah, I want it because it's not coming to me soon, and it makes me a little angry, but it motivates me to just work harder. So, yeah, that one's a quick one. The next one, I finally understand why I'm insecure. Like, I have always been insecure about, like, every little thing about myself. Like, there was a point in my life where I don't think I could tell you one thing I actually liked about myself. And if I could, it had to be something that was, like, the skinniest part of my body, like my wrist. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, I was just so insecure. And I understand that, like, I was insecure because I was, like, so focused on myself and, like, what others thought of me. Which it's like, I don't know why I put myself in that space. But then, like, once I started to just, like, kind of stop focusing on myself, but stop, like, getting out of my head. Like, I realized I had to get out of my head and be like, dude, like, no one freaking cares. No one cares about what this part of my body looks like. No one even notices. It's, like, just in my head. So I understand that, like, I was insecure because I thought everyone could see that about me. But then I realized, like, no one notices. I'm the only person that would notice these little niche insecurities of mine. And if someone is noticing and, like, pointing them out, they're just a weirdo freak, and I just have to ignore them. And I think I was also insecure, like, really insecure, because I never really received any male attention growing up. So I thought, like, oh, guys just don't like me because, like, I'm ugly, so I'm insecure. But now that I realize that my looks have nothing to do with it. And if a man thinks I'm ugly, then that's just that. I don't really care what a man has to think about what I look like. Because I really don't even, like, do anything to appeal to the male gaze at all. Like, I would much rather a girl tell me that I look good. Because I'm like, you know what? You get it. This was for you. Thank you. Yeah. That was my next one. I understand why I love science. So as I'm studying for this, like, general science exam, I'm, like, going over all forms of science, you know, life science, cellular science, plant science, evolution, you know, physics, waves, motion, energy reactions, all of those things. I am, like, studying so much and reviewing so much, and it's, like, you would think I'd be so tired because I'm studying, like, 5 to 9 hours a day, but it just excites me, and I love being challenged. And will I say I'm perfect at this? Absolutely not. I get questions wrong on my quizzes, and I have to retake my quizzes, but I love it. I love the way that it challenges me. I love the way that I'm pushed outside of my box of, like, oh shoot, I'm not good at this, but let me get good at this. And I'm encouraged to keep trying. And I don't feel like a sense of failure. Like, I kid you not, I had to take a quiz, and they generate different questions for each attempt because there's unlimited attempts. I took a quiz maybe 5 times, and it's only 10 questions, and you just need 70% to pass. But I kept on getting, like, 4 wrong, 5 wrong, like, only 4 or 5 wrong, actually. And I wasn't discouraged. Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm so dumb, I can't do this. I was just like, okay, my brain couldn't process that pattern, but let me try again and see if I could understand it with, like, a new perspective. So I love the way that, like, science pushes me to keep learning different angles and, like, keep trying to process the information. And I don't, like, feel the need to give up. Like, it's honestly exciting for me because it's like, if I try something and I do it wrong, then I'm like, okay, now I know that that approach doesn't work. But when I tried this approach, it did work. And it just really, like, it really scratches and tickles my brain and makes me think, like, oh, I love this. And, like, when I do get questions right and when I'm just, like, on fire, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so good, I love this. And it just makes me so happy. And I love just how much everything connects. Like, everything in science is truly connected to each other. So I studied environmental science in college. So I know so much about, you know, earth systems and how everything connects and just how we can't exist without one thing or another. And also just, like, how everything goes back to each other. Like, this is this way because of this, and we need this because of that. So without that, we would literally die, you know? And I just, like, I love that everything can be connected to each other because it just starts new discussions and new ways of learning. And there's always something more to learn. Like, I remember when I was in college, we would learn a new topic and I'd be like, oh, this is cool. And I'd be like, oh, I know this is going to get harder. And I know that we're going to go more in depth with what we're learning. But honestly, that, like, excited me. Like, I love that there's always something more to be studied. There's always, like, a further step you can take. And it really does promote, like, critical thinking skills. And it really promotes you to take a look ahead. So I'm very excited to, like, learn more and keep going further and not stop where I'm at. Because this is something I also learned about myself, and I'll talk about it later, but I'm never satisfied. I am never satisfied. I love to know more and keep going further. And even if it gets harder and I can't solve the problems, I don't care that I can't solve the problems. I just love to know more about it. And that there's more to be discovered. And I really love science because there's always something new. Like, science is always open to change. That is one thing. Science is always open to change. And hypothesis theories, they can be disproven. It is, like, it's not a good hypothesis if it can't be falsified. You know, everything needs to be, like, for certain things, yes, there is clearly one answer. But there's always new ideas that are opening us up to different theories, different laws, different ways of thinking. And that's just so fascinating to me. And I love it. And as I'm, like, doing this exam, like, preparation, I'm falling more and more in love with science because I mean, I loved science in college too, but like when you're actually majoring in something, it's not that you like come to hate what you're learning. It's not that. It's just that like it's fed to you through so many different outlets and you're just like being pushed to work and work and work and like push your brain further than it can go. And it really does drain you. But when you're, now that I'm, not that I have to take my time with this exam because I'm actually taking it pretty soon, but now that I'm able to kind of just like sit down in my thoughts and like relearn these things and like go further with it, it's making me fall in love with it again, and it's making me truly like realize like, oh yes, like this is what I wanted to do with my life, like this is truly where I'm meant to be, because no other topic brings me this passion. Sorry, water break. Like no other topic really sparks this fire in my brain, I will say that. And kind of on that topic, like, of why I love science, and, like, going back to when I was talking about that California Science Center position, so basically, I applied for the three or four summer positions that they have open, and they're just, like, summer, which is perfect, because I'm gonna start teaching next school year, so I kind of do need something just for the summer, like, it works out perfectly, and it's essentially all three positions kind of combine that you need, obviously, some knowledge of science, well, a vast knowledge of science, experience in a classroom, and experience with administrative / clerical work. Baddies, that perfectly describes me. That perfectly describes me. Because, like I said, I love science so much. I majored in it. I'm going to be a science teacher. I'm currently teaching, so I have plenty of experience in a classroom. And administrative and clerical work, that's all I did throughout college. And that's my part-time remote job right now. Like, I'm literally an administrative coordinator. It perfectly combines all the three things that I love, because I truly love project management. And I truly love science, and I truly love teaching, and it combines all three of those things. And honestly, one of my really big like goals in life is, because I obviously, like, I'm going to be a teacher, but I don't know how long I'm going to do it for, but I would love to be able to combine like my passion for science and my passion for project management and work somewhere like a science center and do like programming of activities and kind of like other like separate programs for science, because I'm able to do that like project management role where I like assign tasks and, you know, I speak with board members and I generate meetings and things like that, but I'm also able to deliver science lessons or science activities for, you know, like students or for regular people and, you know, elderly folks, things like that. Like, I truly, truly love that. And eventually I want to get to that, but I need to build up so much more experience before I could even get there. Yeah. That's why I love science. And I understand why I love to teach, because as I'm, like, working, these students, they definitely get on my nerves. They definitely drive me crazy. Like, any teacher will tell you that, right? And it kind of sucks, right? Like, the really unfortunate incident with students kind of make you forget why you love to teach. But then when you're given a group of students who, like, are actually willing to learn and, like, they're giving you feedback and, like, you're seeing them actually understand, it makes you love teaching so much, so, so much. Like, as I, like, even when I'm, like, telling my parents about, like, certain little scientific things, like, today I was explaining viscosity to my mom because she was making, like, strawberry jelly or strawberry jam, and I was like, oh, this isn't viscous yet, like, it's a little watery, and she was like, viscous, and I was like, yeah, like, it doesn't have high viscosity, you want it to be thicker, a little bit stickier, so it gets more viscosity, and, like, seeing her understand it was, like, you know, really cool, and I love to teach, like, I love the fact that I could teach someone a new idea, and that they'll understand it, like, the fact that I could explain something in such a way that someone who has no previous knowledge of it could learn. And it's like, knowledge is truly power. Knowledge is something that no one could take away from you. And I think that's such an important lesson, like, such an important life lesson. Like, your knowledge is something no one could ever take away from you. Your education is something no one could ever take away from you. And this is kind of like going off topic, but it's similar. Because even with like this new administration, it's a little scary, right? Like, left and right, we're seeing like, oh, this executive order signed to remove this, you know, and bans on this, and like just left and right, it's terrible. There's a lot of things going on that it's really hard. And, you know, slowly rights are being taken away, and it's so easy for things to be taken away, right? But like our knowledge, things that we know, things that we learned, our education, you can't take that away. And that's why people, like, you know, fight and protest and speak up for themselves, because they have that knowledge and they have that education, and you can't take it away from them. And when you have that knowledge, you share it with others for those that don't have it, you know? Like, you share your resources and the things that you learned, so that way other people can get it too. Because knowledge is something that you can easily obtain and share with others. And it's such a privilege to have knowledge and share it with others. Like, I feel so glad when I could tell someone something that I've learned. And I love that I will be someone that teaches. And I love that I will be someone who can help students, you know, not only learn like science, you know, because obviously maybe they don't even care, but maybe like they could learn lessons, like life lessons. Like, there's so many things that you learn that you can apply to so many things, right? Like, for example, the scientific method. Like, yeah, you know, it's suited for science. Like, you know, you identify a problem, you form a hypothesis, you research, you collect your data, you interpret your data, you make a conclusion, you either reject or accept it, right? You can literally do that for so many things. You know, you can do that for like life, you could do that for a job. Like, for example, like for a lot of marketing jobs, right? Like, they make a post, they see the insights, they want to see what audience they can gauge, they collect their data, they interpret it, and they see if it was successful or not, right? Or even with like relationships, like you're not sure, you know, your relationship with someone, you can identify, okay, what's the problem here? What am I doing wrong? Well, maybe this is what's doing wrong. Let me just say this to this person and let me see their response. Okay, that wasn't a good response. Now I know that my answer, right? And not to say that like these kids are even going to apply these things to their life, but this kind of thinking has helped me so much. And honestly, like my teachers and professors like changed my life. Like, they have influenced me beyond belief. Like, they gave me ideas that I never even would have come up with myself, and I truly, truly appreciate that for them, and I can't wait to be that for other students. Like, that genuinely makes me so excited. And like, obviously I love to talk, and I'm just gonna talk all day, so it's gonna be fun for me. Yes, alrighty, next episode. This is a big transition, lol, but why I love fangirl culture. So I have been a fangirl, it literally feels like my whole life, but I feel like my fangirl, like actually being a fangirl, started when I, oh my gosh, like 10 years, I think I was like 11 or 12 when I first kind of got into fan culture. Sorry, yeah, 11 or 12, and I'm 22, so yeah, about 10 years ago, I became, like, a true fangirl. So the first, like, thing I was a fan of, my first, like, group was, like, Five Sauce, the band. Oh my gosh, I was such a fangirl, like, but honestly, it gave me, like, it was perfect. Okay, because I was a fangirl during, like, end of elementary school. Like, a fangirl of Five Sauce, like, end of elementary school, maybe until, like, my freshman year of high school. So, it's, like, what, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade. So, like, 5 years. I would say I was, like, a really, really big fangirl. Like, obviously, I'm still a fan of Five Sauce. 5 Seconds of Summer, by the way. Like, I'm still a bit, like, you know, big fan. I love their music. Like, they're always going to have a big part of my life. But for 5 years, I was, like, hardcore fangirl. And it just brought so much happiness into my life. And you might be, okay, for those of you that understand, the girls that get it, get it. The girls that don't, don't. And okay, for the girls that don't get it, you might be like, how could being a fangirl like even really bring that much joy? Like, they don't even know who you are, which, yes, but it's not just that. Like, it's the community of it all. Like, and this is like, I understand why I love it so much, and it's because of the community. Like, imagine you are with a group of people, and like, you guys could all be from very different walks of life, different communities, different cultures, different everything, but like, you have one really, really big thing in common, and then all of a sudden everyone joins in the conversation, and then it's like, it's amazing. And that's literally what being a fangirl is. Like, it's truly what being a fangirl is. Like, you can be fine going to a concert or to an event because you know that you already have like the biggest thing in common with them. And that just makes me feel like, ugh, it literally makes me so excited. Like, so freaking excited. And I like, ugh, I just love it. I love being a fangirl. And now, like, I'm a really big fan of K-pop. Like, I love ATEEZ and I love Junie, as we all know. And it's so fun, like, going to concerts, like, traveling for concerts, like, going to fan signs, going, you know, doing fan calls, you know, like, interacting with people, like, on social media. Like, it's so much fun. And it's, like, such a, well, okay, obviously there's, like, bad parts of every fandom, but besides that, I don't really interact with them. But, like, the good things is just so fun. Like, it's honestly, like, I have a ball. Like, when I go to concerts, like, I love the fact that you, like, you know, the stress of getting the ticket, and then, like, you get the ticket, and then you start your countdown, and then, like, you plan your outfits, and then, like, you know, you book your hotels, you book your flights, and then, like, you meet up with your friends, and then, like, you wait in the line all day, like, camping out to get a good number, and then like you go inside, and then you're like, oh, you know, we finally made it, and then you're finally inside, and then like your feet start hurting, but you're like, it's okay, it's gonna be so much fun, and like you're so tired and you're so hungry and you're so thirsty, but you're so excited because you're literally going to see like what you've been anticipating, and then like the show starts and they're on stage and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe they're real, I can't believe they're in front of me, and then like they start playing your favorite songs, and then like they notice you in the crowd, oh my gosh, it just makes me so happy, and then like you're with your friends and you're just like singing and dancing with your friends and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're here, and then like, you know, the confetti goes off and it's like so magical, and then like you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it ended, and then you're like crying with your friends after the last song, and then you go to get something to eat after the show, and then you guys are just being delusional together, showing each other your videos, and then the next day you're tired, you're sore, you lost your voice, and then it's like, okay, time to get up and go to the next stop. Like, it's truly such an experience, and I love it. Like, I understand why I love it. It's like, yes, it's, I'm not gonna say excruciating or painful, it is a little bit, basically you're suffering, not in like a bad way, but like, you know what I mean, but it's like so worth it, and it's so much fun, and that's why I love it. Yeah, like, so when I first started becoming a fangirl, like, I went to one Five Styles concert. My mom bought me tickets for my Christmas/birthday gift, and it was freaking amazing, so she bought me tickets. And I remember I had like 100 and something days until the concert. And on my Five Sauce calendar, I counted down every single day on that calendar until the concert. And like, I remember at school, my friends would be like, oh, how many more days? And every single day I would tell them like 87 more days, 86 more days, 85 more days. And I remember on that, the day of the concert, it was such a big deal that my friends all wrote me letters telling me to have a great concert experience. I still have those letters. Like, I will never ever let them go. But like, my really good friends in middle school literally wrote me letters that was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so excited, this day's, you've been waiting for it, you're gonna have so much fun. Like, when I tell you, my friend made a card and photoshopped pictures of me with them, like, I'm sorry, that is just, that's peak friendship. Like, that is such girlhood, and that's why I love fangirl culture, because like, I would have never experienced something like that if I wasn't a fangirl. Say I wasn't a fangirl and I was just going to the concert, I would have never had those letters from my friends telling me that they're so happy for me. Like, what do you mean that couldn't have existed in an alternative universe? where I'm not a fangirl. So things like that. And I love it. And now that, like, I am at an age where I can afford, I don't know about afford, but I can pay to, like, meet my favorite artists and, like, actually interact with them and, like, talk to them. Like, I love it even more. And I understand that I love it so much more now, because when I was younger, I couldn't do it. And now that I'm older and I have my own money, I can do it. And I love meeting my favorite artists. Like, I love meeting ATEEZ. I love meeting Junie. And I just love being able to tell them, like, how much they've impacted my life in such a positive way. And, like, just how much their music and just their general, like, everything just means to me. And some of you might be like, oh my gosh, Nina, you're so dramatic. It's not even that deep. But to me, it's deep. Like, I care about it so much. Like, I love the fact that I've got to tell Junie, like, my opinions on his album. And I love that, like, he loved my, what I had to say about it. And, like, I would have never, ever, like, had the experiences that I've had with some of these artists if I wasn't a fangirl. Like, I could never just be someone that just goes to the concert. Like, yeah, like, that's cool. And I would love to see them even just perform, like, not even talk to them. But, like, because I've had these experiences, it's just, like, enhanced my overall, like, fangirl life. Like, I can tell you all my little silly, crazy stories about all my interactions with these K-pop groups, and you would be, like, so shocked, like, what the heck, that's so crazy. And it's like, yeah, that is crazy, and I love that I've been able to experience that. And I may seem crazy, and maybe I intimidate guys by that, like that, but I would never trade it for the world. I would never trade my experiences for other people's approval. Like, I might look crazy and insane, but I don't care, because I've had so much fun. Like, I've had my most favorite artists, meaning the men that I find the most handsome in the world, tell me that I'm beautiful. Ugh, I've had them watch my stories and respond to my stories and like my stories. Like, what the heck? That is crazy. Like, I have pictures with them. I have things signed by them. Like, dude, San from ATEEZ called me his cupcake. He was like, you're my cupcake. Like, what the heck? Like, that is freaking crazy. Like, Seungwa literally smelled my perfume. Like, that, these are crazy. Like, Jungho sang to me. Jungho spoke Spanish to me. Like, these are freaking crazy, insane things that happened. And it's like, what the heck? Like, Junie literally, when I told him my hands were cold, he grabbed my hands and warmed up my hands. What do you mean that's my life? And this is why I love being a fangirl, because I could do these things. And I'm delusional and I'm crazy, but I'm free. But I am so free. So that's why now I understand why I love fangirl culture in a very long way. Next one, this is so funny, lol. Why I love quiet time. I love quiet time because I spend so much time in my head, or so much time in very loud classrooms, that when I get my quiet time, I don't have to think. I can just lay there, or I can just sit there, or stand there and be quiet. And it's so nice. And I realize that I love that much more now because I'm in loud classrooms all day. And now I understand that. Yeah. Next, this one's a little different. This one's a little personal. I understand why certain relationships ended. Not like romantic relationships, because, like I said, I've never had one, but like crushes, I guess you could say. And I understand why they didn't work out, and I understand why I had certain friendships that fell out. And for a while, I thought, like, am I the problem? Like, what did I do? And then, not to say, like, I'm never the problem, because maybe there's something that I did do and I just didn't know. But I understand now that these relationships ended because that person or those people were just going to bring me down and not build me up. But, like, they were going to bring me down and they weren't going to basically do any good for me. And, like, not to say all relationships, you need to get something out of it. But for me and my friendships, like, I'm such a supportive friend. Like, I love and I celebrate my friends' accomplishments. Like, that makes, it generally makes me so happy when good things happen to my friends. And it definitely makes me sad when bad things happen to them, because, like, that's my friend. I don't want things like that to happen to them. But some people, like, truly do prey on your downfall. And sometimes, like, some of your friends aren't your friends, and, like, they celebrate when you lose, and they genuinely, like, can't be happy for you when you win. And I realize now that those relationships, friendships ended because those people could or would never be happy for me, and couldn't always be happy when I was doing bad. And I was, like, reflecting on a lot of friendships that I fell out with, and I realized, like, yeah, that's why we fell out. Because when things got bad, you, like, celebrated that. But then when things were good, you always had something to say, like, oh, well, that only happened because you blah, blah, blah. Like, girl, you could keep that to yourself. You do not need to tell me that. And even, like, crushes, like, that I, you guys know. And if you don't know, you can go to my Life is Worth Living episode, or my, why I'm a hopeless romantic episode, and you can hear about my crushes, my previous crushes. And I know why these crushes ended. And, okay, well, mainly because they didn't give a fart about me, but we knew that. But it's because, like, they just weren't the right one. Which, like, okay, it's so obvious, like, duh, Dana, they weren't the right one. But it's, like, these relationships could have happened, and I could have, like, you know, totally, like, changed who I was to fit what they wanted. Or I could have totally, like, gotten way insecure and, like, hidden a lot of myself because of this. Like, I could have been a completely different person because of these relationships, like, if they had actually worked out. But, you know, I'm so glad that they didn't, and I understand that they didn't, because I'm supposed to develop and be who I am, like, on my own, not, like, because of other people. And I'm glad that, like, yeah, like, I feel like if I dated the guy that I had the crush on for the longest time, I would not be who I am today. I believe that I would have liked him and wanted him to like me so much that I would have changed who I was to match who he was. Like, change my aesthetic to match his. And I don't like that. And I'm glad that that never happened between us. And, like, in retrospect, he... Ugh, yeah, I'm not even going to talk about him. We're done. But yeah. I understand why these relationships ended, and I'm glad that they did, because they allowed me to be the person that I am now. So, yes. Okay. Next. Why I make fake scenarios in my head? Because I'm crazy. I make fake scenarios in my head because I wish that they would happen to me in real life so bad. So I picture it in my head to, like, satisfy that craving and, like, scratch that itch. Which is very crazy. But, like, you can't tell me you don't lay at night and imagine a little fake scenario in your head. I imagine fake scenarios in my head with, like, celebrities. I imagine fake scenarios like, oh my gosh, imagine if I fought this person, how would I fight, what would I do? Like, I create fake scenarios like, oh my gosh, like, what if he tried to chase me and I rejected him? Like, things like that. Like, or what would I do if, like, a man was trying to run up on me, like, things like that. Or, like, oh, how would I dance at the club if this song was playing? Yeah, and I do it because it's fun, basically. I understand why I'm delusional, and I'm delusional because I've never had any real romantic experiences, so I create them in my head, and I just, like, let myself live a little fantasy because I know I'm not going to get it anytime soon. So by me doing it, like, in my head, I don't have to actually experience it and get hurt or, like, go out of my way and meet someone. So, like, if I'm delusional, it just stays in my head and nothing happens. Like, okay, I was telling my friend the other day, like, I have delusionships. Like, this is gonna sound so crazy, but whatever, lol. In my head, me and Junie are happily married, 2 kids. We live in Southern California. We have a 4-bedroom house. We go to the beach every weekend. Yeah, in my head, like, we are the perfect couple. Like, in my head, he wants me so bad. But obviously, like, okay, if I when I see him in person, I don't say these things because I'm not crazy. I'm just delusional. Like, in my head, that's my man. Like, that's my boyfriend, for real. But these delusions are so fun because they're not real. And they're not hurting anyone. They're not hurting him. They're not hurting me. It's literally just so silly and goofy. And, like, it's just so hilarious to think about. And my delusionships, like, it's awesome because I know it's never going to happen. And it doesn't, like, I don't dwell on it throughout the day because it's never going to happen. It's not like a situationship where, like, oh, shoot, this is real. If I say something, I could mess things up. Or, like, if I say something, I'm going to initiate something. Like, yeah. So I love delusionships because I'm in control. I love delusions because I can control what happens and it's my little universe. Yeah, which makes me kind of crazy. Why I love, like, older music. So, like, recently I've been into, like, a lot of music from, like, the 60s and 70s. And it's just, like, those old, like, lovey-dovey songs that, like, yeah, I need me a freak like that. Like, I need someone, like, Stevie Wonder type songs. Like, songs when men used to actually like women. You know what I mean? Like, songs like that. And, yeah, and I understand why I love it because I just wish that someone would feel those that way about me. And I love it because I just can't believe that someone actually feels that way about a person. And I just love that those emotions can be brought out. So yeah. Oh, this one's very different. Why? Also, these are, like, not really in order. I was just writing them as I kind of, like, was thinking about it. Why I'm never satisfied. And once again, this is not in a bad way, but I realize that I'm never satisfied because I always want more for myself. Because, like, growing up, my parents would always tell me, like, oh, you know, like, you know, you, not like you do what you want with your life, but, like, you know, basically do better than we did. They would always tell us, like, do better than we did. So, like, for example, my parents, they graduated high school, but didn't go to college, right? So, but for us to do better than they did, we were encouraged to, you know, pursue a higher education. We were never told, like, oh, you need to go to this college, you need to get these grades, da, da, da. It was always just do better than we did. So because, like, my parents want that for me, I am, I've always had this idea and, like, encouragement in my head of, like, you know what, I need to do better. So that way, like, I show that I work hard and I'm successful. Like, I always want my hard work to pay off. So the harder I work, the more I expect from myself. So I'm never satisfied in a good way because I want more in a good way. Not like I want to be at the top and I want to be the best of the best. Like, no. Like, I just want, I have high standards for myself and I know that I can do it. So if I can do it, I'm going to. Like, I don't want anything to stop me. I don't want anything to kind of, like, deter me. And, like, yeah, things are going to happen and things come up. But I don't want it to be like, oh, no, well, like, I can't do that, so I'm not even going to try. Like, no, I'm going to try. And I don't care if I fail. Like, if I fail, I'm going to try again or try something else. So I'm never satisfied because I want the best for myself. Like, I think that I deserve a good life and I'm going to do what I can to get it. And to me, literally a good life means that I make enough money to pay for my bills and enjoy my weekends and go to concerts and go on a trip when I want. That is it. I want a good, simple life. And I'd be so happy. Why I overwork myself. I overwork myself because I'm never satisfied. Plain and simple. I overwork myself because I always feel like I could be doing more. I love to offer myself when I can. And then I end up offering myself too much and I'm overworked, but I love it because I always see payoff. So yeah. And my last one is why I'm so full of whimsy and joy. I understand why I'm so full of whimsy and joy. And it's because I am so full of life. I love the little things in life. I love the little joys. I love when my matcha tastes great. I love when the sun is out. I love when I don't have to work on a rainy day. I love going for walks. I love singing. I can't even sing, but I love to sing. I love all the little things. I love going to the beach. I love when I can spend a little money. I love going to church. Like, I love spending time with my family. I love a good meal. Like, I'm so full of life. And I feel like there's never a dull moment. And even when things do get rough, I know that they're going to get better. Because it's just the way life goes. And I feel like because I exude this life, people see it through me. And ultimately, like, I just hope that they see God through me and that they see my faith through me and they see, like, oh, wow, maybe it's because, like, she loves God that she's the way that she is. But I love life. Even when life sucks and it's hard, like, I've had the worst things happen to me. And through it all, it's like, it's just going to get better. It's going to get better. I'm already at the bottom, but life is going to get better. And, like, this is, like, this is going to sound super, super cheesy, but, like, even, like, okay, so I have, like, very, very curly hair, and my hair, like, my curls literally bounce. Like, even my hair is full of life. Like, the way that I think and care about, like, literally every little thing, like, I love it all, and I'm just so whimsical. Like, I love the little things. Like, everything to me is so whimsical, and everything to me is so joyous. Like, I love to smile. I love to smile. I love to laugh. Like, I love to just, like, you know, the girl who's going to be okay? Like, that's me. And I just feel like there's too many things to, like, obviously there's so many things to be unhappy about, but it's like, why are you gonna put your energy towards that, you know? Like, you should just live life. Life sucks sometimes, but it gets better. Like, every bad thing that's ever happened to me has always gotten better. And I mean, I truly believe it's because, like, my faith in God and, like, you know, my prayers and, you know, my worship for him, that he, you know, gets me out of these situations. But I mean, if, like, you're not religious, and I don't know, maybe if your beliefs are in that way too, but it's just the way that, like, things always work themselves out, even when you don't do anything for it to work itself out. Like, things work out in the end. Like, in the end, everything will come together. And, like, I've been saved from the worst situations, and even when I thought things couldn't get worse, like, they did. Things got terrible, but then, like, they got better. And, like, the good things to me will always outweigh the bad. Like, I could ignore every bad thing that ever happened to me if one good thing happened to me. And I just, like, I love that. And now I understand, like, why I'm like that. And it's because I'm just so full of whimsy and joy and life. Like, I love life, even when it's terrible. Because I'm like, you know what, this is just a part of it. There's ups and downs, but what must come down always comes up. So, yeah. So that's my list. But so those are pretty much the things that I wrote down. But I'm so glad that I'm in a place now in my life where I appreciate these things, and I can appreciate even these, like, really unfortunate things on my list. But, like, I can appreciate it now, and I understand it now. And a lot of these things, like, you know, I do have to work on. Like, you know, I have to work on my insecurities. I don't know if I have to work on being more delusional. Is being delusional immature? Okay, but the thing is, like, I'm delusional, but, like, I don't act on it. Like, you know, like, I work hard to make things happen. So maybe it's not a bad thing, but maybe I'm just telling myself it's not a bad thing. Anyways, lol. You know, I need to work on me being never satisfied. I need to work on, you know, overworking myself. But I don't see these as, like, a bad thing. Like, I feel like I see these as a room for improvement, but I'm just glad that I understand it now. And I hope that these things that I realized about myself might help some of you guys in realizing some of these things that maybe you question about yourself too. Because these are, like, some pretty vulnerable things for me to admit, like, on a public platform. But I'm a talker. I'm a talk. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up this episode. I do have some ideas for my next episodes. So my mom really wants to be on an episode, and she wants to, like, talk about her life. So my mom wants to, I don't know what she wants to talk about, but my mom wants to be an episode. And then I'm going to make an episode on, like, my my thoughts on this generation, because obviously I work with kids, and we are so doomed. We are so doomed. They are so interesting. So I want to make an episode on that too. And I just finished watching Sex and the City, and one of my friends, Brie, who's been on the show before, she tried to get me into it, but I just couldn't get into it. But on my own, I came around. So we're going to do like a whole episode on like our thoughts, a recap, you know, our opinions, a quiz on like what character we are. So I have like things lined up. It's just that I'm taking exams right now, so I'm kind of busy. But once I am not busy, I will get back. I will do those episodes. I have it written down in my notes, so don't worry. They're there. I will get to it. Yeah, if you like this episode, text me. Text me if you liked it. Oh my gosh. New listeners, if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is Dana Sturp. It's the same as like the user of this thing. So DaynuSderp. And yeah, if you guys like this episode, please tell me your opinions. Text me your thoughts. I would love, 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 love to hear them. It would make me so happy. But yeah. Okay. So that's it. Bye-bye. I'll see you guys in the next episode.